This is Grace Lynn Keller with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and I'm so excited today to be joined by Dr. Nick Patel, who is the Chief Digital Officer at Prisma Health. We're going to talk about a wide variety of subjects today, but before we get started, would you please take a moment to introduce yourself, Nick?
Yeah, sure. Great to be here. I'm Dr. Nick Patel. I'm a practicing internal medicine physician for the past 18 years and currently serve as the Chief Digital Officer and Vice Chair for Innovation and Clinical Affairs at Prisma Health, which is the largest healthcare system here in South Carolina.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And we'll just dive right into this here. So can you tell us a little bit more about your role as Chief Digital Officer, your responsibilities, some of the challenges you may face day to day?
Sure. Yeah, this role was formed about 2 years ago after I made a pitch to our CEO. After I saw a presentation by Hal Wolf, who was the CEO of HIMSS, the year prior. You know, as the healthcare landscape was changing, there really needed to be a person who was focused on the next generation of frictionless care delivery. And Chief Digital Officer was an emerging role in healthcare. And as Chief Digital Officer, I helped lead digital health strategy to form a seamless digital continuum of services that include things like enhanced video visits and virtual visits, remote patient monitoring and automation. And my goal is really to bring modern retail experience to delivering frictionless care to our patients using this next generation healthcare technology, such as RPM and automation. And I think by using that technology, my goal is to, you know, help with the early detection of disease, closing care gaps, and improving chronic disease outcome. If you look at pre-COVID or BC, you know, we had probably conducted about 22,000 virtual visits. Most of those were direct to consumer. And since March of 2020, we've conducted over 560,000 virtual visits and over 170,000 COVID chatbot engagements. And some of the other hat also wear as Vice Chair of Innovation is that I'm also looking at emerging technologies such as 3D printing, which can be used for printing orthotics for diabetic foot ulcers, and virtual reality to help patients in palliative care and to help folks with counseling through mental health issues. We've actually expanded greatly since the pandemic, and obviously the challenges of being able to deploy all these types of technologies at the same time of dealing with the challenges of COVID were there, but also we are also going to one instance of Epic throughout our system. So there's a lot of work being done in there, and sometimes that pulls resources away for that deployment. But luckily, we have not had to delay it, and everything is going as planned.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you've been very busy, especially in the past year. And kind of in that same vein, can you discuss some of your top priorities for 2021?
Yeah, absolutely. No, well, the biggest system-wide priority, even beyond digital health, is that we're going to that one instance of Epic, and we're going live on February 27th of this month. And that will actually help us eliminate about 138 legacy systems and unify our data streams. And as Epic is being rolled out, our top three goals for this year, for at least in the digital health realm, is to roll out RPM around three programs: hypertension, congestive heart failure, and diabetes. This enrollment will be fully data-driven based on severity of disease and risk. And we'd like to get to at least about 2,500 patients enrolled this year and expand to 5,000 year two and 10,000 year three, and potentially even more if within those years, depending on what the data shows us and how fast we can implement it. I would say the second one is to roll out an enterprise eICU solution throughout our organization. We're a very large system. Our catchment area covers about 45% of South Carolina, and we're an 18 hospital system with about 330 ambulatory clinics. So we have a pretty significant footprint, and we know that as we grow, we also need to have more opportunity for services within the ICU using an eICU solution that allows for virtualists to take care of patients to augment the staff when needed. And the third is to expand our chatbot content beyond COVID-19 to include things that essentially are in parallel to RPM program around chronic disease states and post-discharge chat. So for example, if you had a hypertension program that you're enrolled in as a wearable, and your blood pressure cuff says, hey, you know, last three blood pressures are high and our data tells us that, and, you know, instead of a person picking up the phone immediately, and that chatbot would talk to you and go, hey, I saw that your last three blood pressures are high. You're taking your medicines. Did you miss a dose, et cetera? And then it'll be escalated based on the response to our contact center, a care coordinator, a PharmD, or even a provider. And obviously, those are just three that I've named, but there are many other priorities for fiscal year 21 around unified data, analytics, artificial intelligence, and our goal to get to near real-time reporting.
Well, it sounds like you have a very busy year ahead of you. I wish you all the best luck in those endeavors.
Thanks.
I'm sure you'll be successful. I kind of want to backtrack a little bit to something you said in your first response to my first question. You said that your role didn't exist until you went to your CEO and kind of started discussing it. So I'd love to hear more about your career journey and kind of where you started and then where you are today, kind of how that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my path is definitely an interesting one. After I completed medical school and residency training here actually at Prisma in 2005, I actually became a hospitalist and did that for about 3 years. And then I actually worked in an emergency room. And then eventually I became a primary care doc, which I've done now for 11 years. And, you know, I always noticed when I was a hospitalist where patients were getting admitted for things that were totally avoidable complications for diabetes or heart disease, et cetera. And then I saw the same thing happen when I worked in the ER. And I said, gosh, I wish we could have more primary care docs. And if they just were able to take care of this chronic disease, they wouldn't end up in the hospital. So I decided to stop complaining about it and went into primary care. And I really have loved it and still continue to practice, not as much as I used to with these other roles, but I do practice a day and a half every week. And I feel like I'm able to give a larger impact on keeping patients healthy and closing care gaps and then preventing those hospitalizations. And during this whole, you know, through my medical career, you know, like many other organizations, we started to roll out the EMR since the passing of the HITECH Act over 14 years ago. And I got to see the firsthand unintended consequences and the disruption it caused. We saw very good providers who got burnt out and decided to retire early. We saw productivity drop. We saw wait times go up. We saw, you know, our CGCAP scores go down. And this is not a Prisma thing. This was nationwide that we're seeing this. And I remember one of the things that I did is I did a kind of analysis of how long it takes for one patient to be seen. And I looked at it and did an analysis, and it showed 45 minutes per visit at a minimum. And you only had probably 8 minutes face time with the patient because all the processes in the front staff and the intake by the nurse and everything else. And so I found that instead of logging in and out of computers back then, you know, we didn't have all the cool technologies like SSOs you have to log in and out of every room that you went into. Well, that also took a lot of time away. So I did a large study on the use of mobile tablets, and that study showed a significant improvement patient and provider satisfaction. Our throughput went up, our documentation time got better. And so I eventually got into informatics and led informatics for the medical group for a few years. And then I, you know, started to see that, you know, there wasn't really anyone that kind of was between that CIO who handles software and hardware and infrastructure and the CMIO, which I did, you know, over informatics and the EHR. There wasn't really anyone focused on digital health and these alternative care delivery solutions, such as remote patient monitoring, or you looking at tech such as automation, or looking at how do we look at our data more seamlessly and get more real-time data instead of stale six-month-old reports, and looking at, AI and those types of things. So, you know, that's what the role for chief digital officer really is to think outside the box and help improve that next generation care delivery. And it was great. Got interviewed by many people, and our CEO signed off on it. And it definitely has been, it continues to be a great journey and learning experience. I think, you know, especially with COVID, we've seen what could happen if you have a person like that, or team, I should say, that is focused on that new type of next generation care delivery. So and now I'm looking into innovation. And part of it is also to make sure that we take into account academics as part of this. So making sure that we don't start with technology. I might be a technologist and I might love technology, but I always start with the problem first. So I always have my doctor's hat on to understand what the needs are of the patient and then choose the right technology that will help solve that issue or help us be more efficient and to get to a better outcome for the patient. And so looking at innovation and doing research around, hey, how does a virtual reality help palliative care patients when you put them on a sensory journey? You know, and seeing the fact that you put someone in a VR experience that postoperatively they use less morphine and they have a better experience, or to use VR for mental health for patients of post-traumatic stress disorder or even medical training and interviewing or doing gross anatomy. There's all kinds of things you could do with that, or 3D printing, you know, being able to get a orthotic printed within 24, 48 hours versus waiting 4 to 6 weeks. So that we prevent that diabetic foot ulcer from getting worse and ending up in an amputation, because diabetes in America is still the number one reason for non-traumatic amputations. And so how do we start to use technology to drive care sooner and early detection so that we don't have these complications such as amputation or blindness or end-stage renal disease that you end up on dialysis? So those are some of the things and in my journey that I've had, and I've obviously met and learned from many, many people much smarter than me and have been, in my journey and working closely with my system CMIO, our chief data officer, our CIO, our chief clinical officer. They've all been very supportive and give a lot of insight and help, tweak the strategy and help with the road mapping and making sure I listen to understanding what the needs are of the system. So it's continues to be a journey, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like you have had a wealth of experience and just a great journey to get to where you are today. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and thank you for taking the time.
Great. Thank you for having me.